Welcome back to Your Political Playlist. I'm your host, Emily Tisch Sussman. Cases of COVID-19 have been surging in Michigan over the past few weeks, and at the center of all of it is Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Over the past year, she has navigated the state through the pandemic, dealt with a once-in-a-lifetime flooding event, survived an elaborate kidnapping plot, was in the running for vice president, and sent her daughter off to college. It's safe to say she's had a busy year. Today on this Mother's Day special, we're diving into what it means to be a woman at the seat of power and be a mother. Welcome, Governor Whitmer.
Governor, you are hip. You are one of the fastest guests we've had to accept and understand how to get on the IG Live.
Well, I wish I could take credit, but a young man named Bobby Letty is here with me and he's doing it.
Okay. Well, you know what? If Bobby's keeping us young, he's keeping us hip. Thank you so much for joining us, Governor, on this special Mother's Day conversation that we're going to have. You know, usually on my podcast, on Your Political Playlist, we have policy conversations. I've actually been really specific in the way that I structured the podcast. I felt like when women were asked for expertise, they were only asked for personal experience and not asked for their professional policy expertise. So it was really specific when creating the conversations that we didn't necessarily dive into the personal to couch our expertise and personal experience. We've had you on before with your professional experience, how the state of Michigan was going to be won and eventually was won by President Biden. But I do want to talk a little bit more about the personal side. This has been such a crazy year as an understatement for all of us. And as we're going into Mother's Day, I think we're all feeling a little bit reflective. I just wanted to have this conversation with you and ask, how are you talking about this year with your kids? You know, I'd love to go through a piece of it, but even just to get to the logistics, you co-parent. How logistically did you manage that through this last year?
Well, my children's father and his wife and my husband and I decided we were going to be a pod. And we were all going to take the protocols very safely because we, you know, share custody of the kids. They go back and forth every other week. And it worked. I mean, it wasn't always easy, but I'm fortunate that, you know, my ex and I have kept the needs of our kids front and center. And we've built a great friendship through that. And so we've made it work. I know it hasn't been that easy for others. I can't imagine if we didn't have that kind of a relationship, how a parent who co-parents would handle a virus like this. And, you know, I know that it's been challenging for everyone, but as heavy as our burden feels some days, I know it's lighter than that, which a lot of people carry every single day, pandemic or not. So that kind of keeps us focused on the task at hand and from feeling too overwhelmed.
It does sometimes help to have like that bigger picture when you're thinking about it. But I mean, that's been a real issue for so many parents that I know, trying to figure out the logistics, especially in a co-parenting situation. And you can't be there all the time with your kids. And so how have you had these conversations? I mean, your kids are obviously old enough to understand what is going on, but the way that you managed the lockdowns early and decisively and got pushback to it, how did you have those conversations with your kids?
Well, you know, my girls are now 19 and 17. When I had them, I'll tell you real quick, I thought, oh, they're going to graduate the years 2020 and 2021. What great years to graduate. Little did I know, they would be the worst years for this generation to graduate. And yet they and like so many of their friends and kids their age have been resilient and have worked through all the challenges. But on top of all of that, we've had a lot of ugliness and hate leveled my way. And I've had to have very candid conversations with my kids. I remember one day I was working, you know, here at the residence, and it was very loud out front on the front lawn. And there were people out there with semi-automatic rifles, with, you know, the Trump float that travels around was right in front of the residence. You know, I feel so bad for my neighbors. Kids came out, though, and they were like, what is that noise? And we looked out the window and I had to explain what was happening. And, you know, we talk candidly. We always do. But it's been tough stuff that we've had to navigate, especially with all the death threats. And sometimes people even extend that to my family. And I think our ability to be candid about that. And if they were younger, I don't know that we would be able to. But because they're older, we've been able to talk through it. And so they haven't been surprised or haven't known how to react or been fearful. And I think that's what I wanted to protect them from as their mom.
Right. I think as adults, we don't know how to react and we feel fearful. So it's certainly confusing for them. And I'm sure that they probably want to protect you to some degree. I mean, have they asked you to, I don't know, not be the governor anymore? I don't know how that would look for them.
They haven't, you know, they're really resilient, tough, smart kids, you know, and they're very low drama, which I'm really fortunate. I was not that way at their age. My mom had to, you know, bark at me to do my homework. I don't have to do that. They're really solid, grounded kids, and I feel very fortunate. That being said, you know, these are times unlike anything any of us has ever navigated, and giving one another a little bit of grace, being able to keep things in perspective. These are tools that they've honed over the course of the last year and a half and certainly will serve them well over their lifetimes.
Not COVID has obviously not been the only thing that's happened over the last year. You had said that your daughter had actually encouraged you to go to the racial protests last year after George Floyd's murder. And what was that conversation like? I mean, I think a lot of parents were struggling to have those conversations, and yours is at an even more public level.
Yeah. You know, there have been a number of times where, I have cemented in my mind a moment or a conversation that I've had with my daughters over the last year and a half in particular. That was one of them when, we were watching the video of the death of George Floyd, and we were having conversations. My kids wanted to go out and go to the Black Lives Matter protests and wanted to be a part of the conversation. And of course, COVID was so rampant and the heat was so, you know, intense from the political rhetoric. And I wasn't quite sure how we'd navigate it, but because I wanted to as well, but it was really my daughter who said, "We've got to go, Mom. I'm going." And so I was like, "Well, you're not going without me." And it was great. And I was so glad that we did. And it was led by ecumenical leaders. It was peaceful. There were police that walked along, you know, with us in the spirit of support. And I thought it was really a good day. And I thank my daughter for being so resolute and wanting to show support. I've learned a lot from my kids over this past year. You know, I wasn't sure if we'd go to the inauguration, and they said, "This is the first woman taking her oath of office. You're going," you know, so they're strong. This generation gives me such hope and confidence and fuels the work that I do.
They are definitely pushing the envelope on a lot of issues that I think has been great. You know, on that piece, just to go back, I'm sorry to keep digging in the things that have been hard over the last year, but I'm just so curious to get your perspective on how you deal with so many things. You know, not only did you have people on your lawn, but there was a massive kidnapping plot against you, which, I mean, certainly made me nervous for you. I can't imagine how your family might have felt. You know, we're starting to see, I think something that's great is that we're starting to see more women jump into running for office, whether it's, you know, water board, whether it's school board, you know, whatever it, local level, whatever it may be, and women with younger kids. Traditionally, women have felt like they had to be like past the kid point in their lives before they could begin their political lives. And that's really not the case. And we're seeing more and more younger women beginning to take that on. But, you know, what is your advice for women who hear your story and may be a little bit scared to do it?
Be bold. You know, I see our, you know, the experience with COVID, and you look at women leaders around the globe and the outcomes for the citizens they lead are better. And I think part of it is that they're bold. They're not afraid to do what they believe to be the right thing. But also they lead with humility. You know I'm not an epidemiologist. I know I'm not a virologist. I know I'm not a public health expert. And so guess what? I seek the smartest people in those fields that I can find.
This is so refreshing.
And I listen to them. And, you know, those who lead with hubris, who think they know the answer to every question, I think, invariably make mistakes along the way. And so I'm glad to see so many women jumping in and being excited. You know, I was a little afraid that with all the ugliness that's been thrown at female leaders in particular over the last few years, but of course, since the dawn of time, that women might not be interested in leaning in. And yet, we see more and more getting involved, just like we see more people going to medical school. They call that the Fauci effect. If there's some good that comes from this moment, maybe it's that women are seeing that there is a need for leadership, and there's a, you know, being bold and leading as you are, showing up as you are, is so important and can make all the difference in the world.
I have to be honest with you that I've been doing political commentary for years and years on Fox News, and actually eventually kind of sunset that after I had kids, because I felt like the rhetoric was amping up. And in the last year and a half, I've actually never shared this publicly, but I had my kids targeted, not from the right, but actually from the left, because people didn't like something that I had said, and it scared me and it pulled me back a little bit. But you know, then I see people like you leading through it. You know, I'm just talking, but like, you know, you are actually leading through it. And it really does inspire me. And it feels like a template to move forward. And I want my kids to see a template to move forward. You know, I want my daughters to see me being strong, but I also want my son to see it too. Like, I want them to see me be scared and then brave.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's, you're setting an example for us. Like, you're giving us a pathway to move forward through it. So, you know, what advice do you give us, those of us who do have the young kids and are still trying to figure out, like, how do we be scared and be brave in this moment for our kids?
Well, I think, you know, I think moms are uniquely equipped to understand that, you know, life is challenging. And at the end of the day, the most important thing that you can do as a parent is to teach your kids to live their values and to be strong and to speak their minds. Your kids are seeing a badass mom showing up every day as she is, and that she's going to be successful at it, and they're going to emulate that. And you've done good, not just for your kids, but for all the people they're going to come in contact with by teaching them that.
Well, thank you so much, Governor Whitmer. You're giving us a lot to think about as we're going into this Mother's Day. We appreciate you being the Michigan mom. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Emily Tisch Sussman, host of Your Political Playlist, and Governor Gretchen Whitmer for Mother's Day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Your Political Playlist. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Your Political Playlist, where you can see video of my interview with Governor Whitmer, and join us live to ask questions during future ones. For more from Governor Whitmer, you can follow her on Twitter at GovWhitmer or Instagram at GE Whitmer. Join us every week for smart but bite-sized conversations with women at the seat of power and activism. Subscribe, and if you like us, leave us a rating and comment to let others know. Talk to you next time.